everybody. Great to be with you all today. Thanks, worship crew. Hearing great worship and things like that, listen to a song on the radio, right? And you get like one line of that song, just stuck in your head over and over and over again. Sometimes that's great. Sometimes that's really annoying because you're like, now that I'm without your kisses, I'll be needing stitches. And this song is stuck in my head, so I'm going to give myself stitches to get it out of my head. Anyway, some of those times, those can be quite annoying. I don't even know any other lines of that song. You just get like that one line stuck in there. And I mean, a lot of times, though, it's a lot better than that. Recently, it's just, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips. I'm sure there's great lyrics to that song. I just don't know any lines other than that. And it's just, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Anyway, great thing to think about, much better than stitches. Anyway, but did you ever get a thought stuck in your head? It could start out little, maybe it's a fear, that stress over a test, that problem you know that's going on in your life. And it could start out as something so innocent, but that thought grows until it consumes. It starts out with man, I'm running and I just feel a little out of shape. Maybe I need to drop a few pounds, I'm overweight. I don't know why someone would find me attractive. I'm so ugly. No one likes me because I'm ugly. I think those people over there are talking about how ugly I am. It started as a little thought. And that thought builds and builds and builds in your mind. And it overtakes and it overcomes your mind. And that battle for truth in your mind is something that we all face. And as we've been in this series, Alive, talking about how do we find this life in Christ, saying, God, I want a life in you that's not just, you know, I'm just kind of a zombie, kind of walking around, whatever, I don't know, I don't care. I want an exciting life with you. I know for myself, one of the biggest battles that I will face to stay alive is the battle that rages in my own mind. It's not something out there. It is a battle within my mind. And when I'm passive in this battle, when I don't care about that battle, it's like those songs that just stick and repeat over and over and over in my head. A thought will come into my head and it'll sit there and it'll grow and it'll just percolate and grow and grow and grow until it consumes me. There is a battle for truth in your mind. And that's what I want to talk about today. Kind of my three key things I want you to take away from today. Number one, Satan's lying to us. Satan is lying to you and to me. Number two, the Holy Spirit, God, through his word, is speaking truth to us. And number three, we must take our thoughts captive. That's where we're going to go today. Before we get started, let me just pray for us. God in heaven, I just come before you grateful and thankful that we get to be here. But God, I know in each of our worlds, in each of our minds, there are lies that are going through our brains. God, I pray right now that your word would speak clearly to us. God, I pray that you would free us from distractions and all the other junk that's going around, that we could clearly hear from your word. God, as that last song was going, Lord, that we would surrender in order that we could hear you. God, speak to us today. Have your word speak to us today. In your son's name I pray. Amen. First thing, point, Satan is lying. I know when, you know, we don't really like talking about Satan and kind of it sounds kind of weird and creepy that there's like demons or any of that sort of stuff. But scripture makes it really clear that there is a battle that is going on in our hearts, in our minds, that is not just a battle against other people, but there is some spiritual battle that is going on. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about the armor of God. I'm going a little Sunday school thing here. Armor of God. Can anyone name some of the pieces of the armor of God? Of what? Righteousness. Okay. Lee's won candy. He's excited about it. Daniel. Alright. Belt of truth. Okay, here we go. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Any other ones? Okay, Miss Cole. Sword of the Spirit. Oh, that was terrible. Ian. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. Okay. So, okay. That is talked. That comes out of Ephesians chapter 6, okay? Ephesians 6, we're going to look at it in just a second. But the book of Ephesians, it starts off talking about all God has done for us. The first three chapters of how God has richly blessed us and how he's made us alive and all that sort of stuff. And chapters 4 and 5, he's talking about now, if God has done all that, this is now how we should live our lives. This is the way we should conduct ourselves, forgiving other people, loving others and all that sort of stuff. And now he's closing out the book. Okay, and he's closing out this book and reminding them of this truth, which is found in Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Walking back through that, he starts out with the finally. He's referencing back. Hey, finally, you've heard all my other things that I've been going off on, and this is kind of my conclusion of everything I want you to know, conclusion as I wrap up this book. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He doesn't say, be strong in the Lord and be strong in Jared's mighty power. He doesn't say, be strong in Raphael's mighty power. He doesn't say, be strong in Ian's mighty power or be strong in Lee's mighty power, although Lee is mighty powerful, okay? But he doesn't say, be strong in that. It's not my effort he's saying to be strong in. He's saying, be strong in God's mighty power. It's not dependent on you. And then he says, now put on armor. Put on armor, okay? He's saying, now prepare. Get ready for this battle that's coming, okay? You know, a soldier's just going to be walking around normally, and then it's like, hey, guys, we're going into battle. Okay, let's gear up. Let's suit up. Let's get all our equipment on. Let's go out to battle. And he's saying, prepare. Let us get ready for this. And then he says, our battle is not just against people, against flesh and blood. It's against Satan and this evil spiritual enemy that is against us. We have a battle that's going on that is against an enemy who is lying to us. Go to 1 Peter 5 for me. 1 Peter 5 Peter describes Satan as this. He says, be alert and of sober mind. He's like, be ready. Be on guard. Get ready for this. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay. Think of lion hunting for just a moment. Okay. A lion doesn't go up to a zebra and say, hello, Mr. Zebra. I'm hungry today. You mind if I just like bite off your right leg? I mean, it's just one of your legs. I'm just going to eat that leg. No. A lion goes and sneaks up. Put up the picture for me. A lion is going and he's just kind of crouching. He's kind of approaching. He's walking. He is trying to sneak up on his enemy, on his target. He sneaks up on it in a real sneaky way, you know, tricky way. He's going after it. It's not like, hello, I'm here. And the end result is this. And that is the analogy that Peter's using here. Our enemy, the devil, is looking around. He's looking around and he wants to devour us. He wants to devour us. That's what he wants for our lives. That is his goal. And his primary method to get us to that goal is the lies that he tells us. Look at John chapter 8 for me. It says this: the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Everything Satan says to us is a lie. He's like a politician on steroids, okay? You know, he's just everything. He doesn't even know. He's saying he doesn't even know how to speak the truth. All of what he is saying to us is a lie. And if that's true, just a little summary about Satan. Go to the next slide for me. Satan is actively attacking us. He is sneaky, and he is a liar. He is a liar. And if that's true, next slide for me, then we must be actively preparing. If there's a battle, you know, I'm like, oh, there's a battle. I don't know. I don't need a gun. I don't need a sword. I don't need any of that. So I'm just going to walk out like this. No, if I was going to battle, I would not be looking like this. I would prepare for it. He's sneaky. He's coming at us, so I'm on guard. I'm ready. I'm thinking about his attacks. I know he's coming, so I'm prepared. I'm looking out for it. And he's lying, which means I need to know the truth. Quick example for you. Satan does not want you to have good Christian friends who encourage you to follow the Lord. He is not a fan of your small groups coming together on Wednesday night, studying God's word together and encouraging each other to follow God. That is not something that he's like, woohoo, that's awesome. So he's going to do little things to undermine that. He's going to make you busy. He's going to start spreading lies. You know, it's probably something little. You see some of the other people in your group talking and you're not in it, or maybe they hung out and you weren't there and you're like, well, maybe they don't like me anymore. Maybe they think I'm weird. You know, it starts off with something little. And you're like, okay, I see them across the room. They're talking. They must be talking about me. They're not including me. They must hate me. They don't like me. He's using little things to break that up. He's maybe using, you know, you're sitting in your small group and you share something that was kind of serious. Someone else in your group just throws out a joke. They weren't trying to insult you or trying to be mean to you, but they threw out that joke. And now you're like, I don't know if I can share again in my group. That's the sort of stuff that he's doing. And because of that, we need to actively prepare. We need to say, no, I am committed to the relationships here. We need to be on guard against the tricks and be like, look, Satan, I know what you're trying to do. I know you're trying to drive a wedge between me and the rest of the guys in my small group. And I'm gonna fight through that. I'm going to pursue those relationships in spite of that. I need to know the truth. I need to know, even if this other guy in my group hurts me, I'm forgiven and he's forgiven. Because of why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, it's not all bleak and that, like, there's just Satan out there and you're all alone fighting Satan. Remember what I said earlier, that we're supposed to be strong in the strength of God's might and God's power. John chapter 14 through 17, Jesus has just finished washing the disciples' feet. He's got his last couple messages he's given to the disciples, and then he's about to be arrested and crucified, okay? And so it's in that context, Jesus talks to them in John chapter 16. He says this: but now I'm going to him who sent me. I'm leaving. I'm headed out of here. But none of you asked me, where are you going? No one's like, hey, Jesus, what are you doing? We don't get you. Instead, rather, you're filled with grief because I have said these things. You're all sad because I said, I'm leaving. I'm heading out of here. Verse 7, please. And Jesus says this, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Think about this. A lot of times we're like, you know what? If Jesus was just right beside me, everything would be so much better. I wouldn't have any of these problems. Everything would be magical. Why can't just like Jesus be right here? Jesus says, it is better for you and for me that he's not here. And instead, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's saying, it's better for you that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you than me physically being here on this earth. Why? Because the Spirit is the one who empowers us. The Spirit is the one who empowers us to fight the lies. The Spirit is the one who is always with us. No one can take that Spirit out of us. That truth is always in us. Verse 12, please. Verse 12 says this. I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus. I have more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Jesus saying, I have a lot more I want to talk to you about. You can't handle it right now. But verse 13 says this. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He's saying this Spirit is coming, and he is going to teach you truth. And I hope you see the power of that contrast there. You have Satan, who is only there to lie to you, the father of lies. And you have the Holy Spirit, who is there in my life, in your life, to speak truth to us. And that is so that is so cool that we have God's Spirit in us. In John 17, a little bit later, Jesus says this. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to set apart for something. If I have these nice clothes on right now, I'm not going to go mow my grass, okay? These are set apart for events where I need to look somewhat nicer and presentable, okay? In the same way, Jesus is like, you will be set apart, you will be different from the world by truth. And what's your standard of truth? Your word, God's word, is truth for us. We have been blessed with God's Spirit inside of us and his word, and those are our truth. As we have this lovely battle, it's like a little bit of this, you know? I don't know, you want to call the Holy Spirit, you know, my motorbike, and I, you know, I'm zebra, like, just, yeah, you can't catch me now. And if you want to call God's word, and we're going to look at this a little bit later, I don't know how those zebras did it to the lion, you know, maybe they pulled out a gun on the lion or whatever. That's the Spirit. That's the battle that we have. But real practical, okay? Again, Satan doesn't come out and just say things that are like, hey, the Bible's stupid. You should hate the Bible and just burn them all, okay? He's not going to come out and start with that. He comes out in a really subtle way. He doesn't want you to read it, so he distracts you. He says, you know what? It's only going to be one round of Counter-Strike. You just play one round, play for 15 minutes. Then you'll get to it. Let's be real, guys. You know that doesn't happen. It's that distraction. I'll just do one round, 15 minutes, half an hour, 4 hours later. You're like, oh, now I'm really tired. You come home from school at the end of the day. Like, I'm really tired. You know, I'll do it later. I'll maybe just take a 4 hour nap or whatever. You know, there's always some. I'm just being real with you, okay? I find it amazing the amount of bizarre and strange distractions that happen when I open my Bible. I'm telling you, my kids are a little older now, but it used to be I would open my Bible and a kid would start crying.
without fail. I'm like, this is just bizarre and weird and strange. But that's Satan coming and saying, I want to distract you. You know, Satan isn't going to come to you and say, hey, you should just cheat your way through high school. He's going to come and say, hey, it's just one test. It's just one little thing. A lot of your other friends and people you know are doing it. Hey, you need to pass the test now and you'll come back and learn the material later. He's minimizing what's going on. Satan is escalating the lies constantly on us. He's just going to say, you know what? It's just one little kiss. You know, your mom and dad's standards, they're just so old school. You know, this is the 21st century here. You know, you don't need to listen to their standards and what they say. And he builds lies in us. It's like the song stuck in my head. It started with a little bit of, you know what? I am a little overweight. I'm a little out of shape. And it builds and it builds and it builds. And I know so many of us are stuck in lies in our head. And we cannot see the truth through the lies. Just to be real practical, I invited someone you should all know to come help me out here. Tessa, come on up here real quick. Okay? Okay. So Tessa, it's great to see you again. I have had the privilege of knowing you since even before you were in middle school. And middle school into early high school, I know there were a lot of lies that Satan threw at you. Can you tell me a little about some of them?
I guess middle school was definitely a hard time for me, just with family stuff and friendships. But I know, like, within my school especially, I got a lot of lies of, like, you're not, you know, worthy enough to, like, be a friend or be here, or you're not good enough to meet anyone's standards, whether it be in relationships or in school or in anything else. So I got a lot of lies about being worthless and not being able to meet any expectations of anyone. Just being good enough to really do anything.
Okay. How do you see those lies? How did you see those lies affect the way you interacted with other people?
I really didn't want to interact with other people, because a lot of those lies, and I mean, Aaron can tell you that I didn't go to Breakthrough a lot because I really didn't want to be around people. Because I figured if I tried to put myself in a relationship that, I would just at some point just get those lies again of like, oh, you're not worth it. There's no point. People don't like you. There's no point to even try to make friends with people because you're not going to. So it was a lot of me just like shutting out the world as much as possible, and not really wanting to make friendships. So I really isolated myself from the world, from my friends, from even my family, just because I didn't feel like I was good enough to be anywhere.
Well, how did God speak truth into that?
My eighth grade year when I went to winter camp is kind of when I got that first like glimmer of hope of these are lies that are being spoken to you. This is not the truth that you're hearing. Through the people that I had met there and then coming back to church and, you know, hearing godly wisdom and starting to even let my mom talk truth into my life. A lot of, you know, just even like reading my Bible, like getting that godly scripture and Psalm 139 was a big one of just knowing that, you know, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so a lot of it was, you know, biblical bound based, just knowing that, you know, this is the truth that God is speaking to you. So it had to come from other people, and they had to direct me to get that. But, yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Tessa.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
One of the things that just really pains me a lot is seeing people trapped in their lies. And I hope you know the lie of you're a failure, you're not good enough, you're ugly, you're stupid, your whatever. Those are lies. And I gotta say, it's one of the hardest things in my job is when you're talking to someone and you just hear the lies that are owning them, that are consuming them. Like Tessa was saying, I don't want to be around people because the lies consumed me. I want to give your leaders right now 2 minutes, 3 minutes to answer this question at your table. Leaders, you can answer this question and share this with your table. What is a lie Satan has fed you where you have struggled to believe the truth? Leaders, you got 3 minutes to answer that question, and then we will continue, okay? With this battle that's going on in our mind, how do we fight it? How do we see victory in it? Well, the first thing, if I'm going to see any sort of victory, is I've got to know the truth. I've got to be able to identify that is a lie. And the only way I can be able to identify what's a lie is if I know the truth. It's like the way that they teach investigators to identify counterfeit bills, okay? They make sure they spend a long time studying the real deal. And if you're going to be able to identify the lies, you have to know the truth. And especially when you're talking about a deep truth, like, does God see me as valuable? You can't just say, well, yes, God sees me as valuable, move on. That's something that's really deep within us. And Tessa didn't share this, but I know, she was talking about Psalm 139. You know, she wrote Psalm 139 in her mirror that every morning, that's what she would look at, are those truths. It's about me taking that truth and meditating on it and continuing to have it surround the core of my being. You know, Psalm 1 talks about, but in the middle of Psalm 1, it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, in God's word, in his truths, he meditates day and night. And as a result, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Whatever he does prospers. There's an element where I've got to not just say, well, I read one verse one time, but I have got to take and say, I'm going to meditate on this. I'm going to have it constantly percolating and centering around and swirling around in my brain. It's going to be written on note cards that I'm going to see throughout the day. It is going to be, as the song goes, ever on my lips. You know, it's just going to be, that is what I have got to force myself to constantly be thinking about. If there is some lie that is in your mind, you know, I need to take that, some verse, identify the verse, and I need to memorize it and meditate on it and not let it leave. You know, you see when Jesus is being tempted by Satan and, you know, he's like, hey, turn this rocks into bread. Jesus will always quote scripture back at Satan. He's like, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan's like, hey, throw yourself off this. Jesus responds, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Every time, every response is, here is scripture. Let me give you, who Satan, let me throw some truth right back at you. This is God's word, and it's got to be in there. It has got to be ready. It's got to be ready to defend and attack that lie. And I challenge you, in a lot of the things you're thinking through, do you know the truth? Have you taken the time to really investigate the truth of what God says about you, what God says gives you meaning and significance, what God says true beauty is, all of those different things? Have you taken the time to say, yes, I want to know the real truth about it? I don't want to just hear a little sermon on Sunday or, you know, I've got some cute verse or something. I want to know, God, would you teach me about that? Would you make that the prayer of your heart? God, teach me your truth in this. Spirit, I am just getting surrounded by lies. Would you teach me your truth in this? And I'm not saying that this is like some nice, easy thing. Oh, here's my verse and we're good to go. Even as Peter wrote about the roaring lion in 1 Peter 5, he writes this in 1 Peter 5. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. As he continues, he's going to say, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same sufferings. He is not saying this is going to be some easy things. He's going to say, you're going to have to stand firm. You're going to have to resist. But he reminds them, but it's the whole family of believer that's going through these sufferings. You're not alone in what you're going through. And that's the second, just such a key thing. You know, Satan will always lie to you and say, you're the only one like this. You're the only one this stupid. You're the only one this ugly. You're the only one this uneducated, unwhatevered. There is no reason why anyone would like you, because you are that weird oddball out there. Satan loves to play that isolation game. You're all alone. You're just out there by yourselves. And Peter is reminding us, you are not alone in this struggle. That's why you need your small groups and your other people around you to remind you of truth. I know some truth that I was just really struggling with this week. And, Garrett Presswood is staying with my family for a few weeks. And he was just, last night, he was here and saying, Aaron, this is truth. And he was just going off X, Y, and Z. It's like, let's go back to what truth is. And you need God's word to speak truth into us. We need other people to speak truth into us. And then as he goes to the next verse for me, and he says, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And what he's going to allude to in the next section is all about heaven. He's like, don't forget, man, what you're dealing with, the struggles you're dealing with are something that is now and in this world. In this world, we will have struggles. We will have Satan lying to us. But God has defeated Satan, and there is eternity. Last verse I want to look at for you comes from 2 Corinthians 5, and it says this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, excuse me. Starting verse 3, go to verse 3. Thank you. For though we live in this world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. He starts off and he says, you're fighting a battle. It's going to be hard. There are different weapons that we have. And with them, we can demolish a stronghold. We can demolish those hard things in our lives. And there are hard, significantly hard lies in your life. And I'm not trying to make light of it, because the battle for your mind is something that's really a challenge. Verse 5 now says this. We demolish arguments and every pretension or speculation that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. He says, you are listening to a lot of lies, and that builds up strongholds. It's a fortress. But instead, we need to take our thoughts, those lies, captive, and turn them to God. Turn them to Christ. I'm going to give you an example because I think that'll help clear up what he's talking about. Okay? Maybe you are not like me, but I think a lot of ways we're very similar. Okay? You ever have those moments where you're like, I want to do what I want to do. Okay? I just be real with you. You know, this last few weeks, there's been several moments. I just want to do what I want to do. Okay. But you look around and you're like, for your case, it might be, I got this homework. I got something else that I need to do. My mom's telling me to do stuff. For me, it's a lot of times I see this pile of dishes that I need to clean. I see this project that I need to do. And what do I really want to do? I just really want to play some video games. I want to watch some football on TV. Those are things I want to do. And then I look at all the chores and other stuff for whatever reason I'm supposed to do. And a lot of times, the lies that come through my mind are like this. You know, Aaron, you're the one that makes all this run. You're the one that's doing all the dishes, and no one ever thanks you for it. You're the one taking care of that. No one ever thanks you for it. You know, everyone else around this joint is certainly lucky that you're around. You're a stud. Everyone else is a dud. And you know what? You deserve to take a break. All these other lazy people around you not taking their weight. You're doing all the work. You deserve to take a break. You deserve to do whatever, you know, you deserve to do whatever you want. There's that battle that's going on in your mind. And it inflates you to pride. It inflates you to arrogance. Saying, yeah, I am better than everyone else. I'm the one who's getting this job done. All these other lazy slackers around here. And that's the way that my brain works. It looks at the things that are going on and it puffs up. It says, you know what? Yeah, you are awesome. And I joke about the song Ever Be, but I can't tell you the number of times in the last couple of weeks where I'm just like, Lord, your praise will ever be on my lips. It is not about me and how awesome I am because I serve you. And if that's what you called me to do today, if you called me to do the dishes or take care of this or whatever that is today, I will still praise you. You are still a God who is worthy to be praised. You are God. You are the one who loved me. You are the one who died for me. And I will work and I will serve you. It is way better to follow you than to be about my pride. And I need to say, Satan, those are lies. That arrogance, that is a lie. That is a sin. That is from you. That is from Satan. And God, instead of that, I choose to follow you. I choose to worship you. And if you're struggling, I do not know the lie that you're struggling with today. But know this for certain. The God of the universe cared enough about you and about me that he sent his one and only son into this world to die on a cross in your place, in my place. And if you're struggling with the I'm not valuable, God says, I died for you. That's how valuable you are. If you're struggling with I don't cut it. I don't look good. God says, I made you. The God of the universe intricately designed each one of you. And God says, I made you and you should respect yourself because I say you're valuable and you need to listen to my voice. Don't listen to the lies. If you're like, look, if you're like me, you're like, I'm better than everyone else. You're so foolish. Yeah, I need to listen to God's truth and says, no, without me, Aaron, you are nothing. I am the one who gives you value. I'm the one who made you. I'm the one who cares for you. And he's saying, guys, would you listen to my truth? Would you listen to my voice in the middle of all the other voices out there? I care about you so much that I died for you. Would you listen to my voice? Let me pray for us. God, I know in my mind there are so many lies. And Lord, I confess that I believe so many lies. And oh God of this universe, I need you. I need you to help me identify those lies. I need you to help me turn those lies into obedience to you. I need you to slay those lies so that I am not about those lies. I'm not about that garbage, but I'm focused on your truth. I am listening to your truth. In the middle of all the other junk around me, Lord, may I listen to your voice. Oh God, I know that there are lies that are killing the kids here in this room. And Lord, by your Spirit, I pray that you would speak your truth into their lies. God, I pray that they would meditate on your word day and night, that your word would be truth to them and they would hold on to your truth. Lord, there are so many weird, disturbing lies in my mind and in each of our minds. And God, would we hold on to your truth? Would we never let go of that? And Lord, would we know that you are the God who is never letting go of us? It is not me who holds on to you, Lord. It is you that is holding on to me. And oh God, I am so grateful for you. And God, may I listen to your voice today. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.